Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And may the favor of the Lord our God upon us establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We agree for that in Jesus' name. We are continuing on this morning in the area of spiritual warfare. And let me just give you these verses as we start. Matthew 13, 22. In the end times, many ploys of the enemy will come to deceive, even God's people, if that were possible. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. And then Ephesians 10, 6 verses 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Father, thank you that this is a revelation that you are now just bringing across your creation. We are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. And we recognize that this is something that you're training the church so that we might be aware and expose the schemes and not be caught up in the traps. And we claim that, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said again, amen and amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All the time, absolutely. We have been looking at the understanding of the year of grace and mercy, and as you remember what we were saying here, the bottom line is that God needs you because of all the things that are being changed in this world. Should I say that, Lord? Thank you. He said, don't. So you'll have to, if you want to be very spiritual. Anyway, the whole process, you ask him. Because I'd go off on a bunny trail, and I wouldn't allow you to get out on this holiday weekend. The understanding that the issues of life are being changed, and the frustrations that are going out. And as you've heard me say over and over again, what we're dealing with here is not the flesh. The Lord is preparing and equipping us for his unfolding plan of revival. The river of God brings on, the reason I put that song there, the river of God brings revival. It brings refreshing. It brings sensitivity. It brings empowering. It brings revelation. It brings anointing. And in that process where God is preparing the church, and the reason why he's teaching about spiritual warfare all across this nation is that some people are going to miss because they're caught up in traps, and they're going to miss what God has. So as he sent John the Baptist in first, he says, I'm here to prepare the way of the Lord. And they thought that he might be Elijah or the Messiah. He says, I'm not the one, but I want you to wake up. Wake up, because one is coming that I'm not even worthy to tie his sandals. So he was the trumpet that called the Jewish people to be aware and to be looking for the Messiah, because they were caught up in deception. They were caught up in religion. They were caught up in many different things that could have caused them and caused thousands and thousands of them to miss what God was about ready to do. So that's what's happening right now. The John the Baptist declaration right now is I'm preparing the way of the Lord. People, wake up, because there is now going to be whatever is necessary to deceive or to cause God's people to miss the move of the Lord. And I'm going to share some things with you this morning. And I like that. In the darkest days, God will always shine his brightest light. We've been looking at the areas of ministry that God has called you to and the whole area of the anointing. In that whole process, we've been also looking at how to release the anointing through your ministry. And the profound revelation is that you've got a calling, you've got a ministry, and you've got a destiny. And that destiny is part of what God, your ministry and your calling is a part of that destiny. You were called by God to minister to others, to minister to Him and to minister to others. That's what ministry is all about. That's what our destiny as Christians. That's why He says, you take your light and put it under a basket? Do we not... Is there not a purpose for what I have instilled within you in the power of the Holy Spirit? So that destiny that God's created you for has within it ministry that allows our destiny to be realized. Amen?
Amen.
I can't preach on that enough because it was a new revelation. How to release, we looked at how to release the anointing and minister to others. It's very important that I said in these days that are coming that we need to recognize that there is a whole focus. If you look back at what's been happening over these last years, to just really restructure everything, to redo what the foundational principles that this nation was built upon. And there is an asserted attack and a scheme to be able to do that. Where all structure is neutralized. And right now, God created human beings in a binary position. That means two, right? And it's not that complicated, folks. But what's happening, man and woman, and what's happening right now, if you can see that there is a plan to break down that structure that God said, that He set up, that foundation was built upon. So right now, there's going to be a neutral thing, whatever. I heard that there was 56 different descriptions of your sex in some of the forms. 56 choosings. 56. Remember the old days when it was male or female? But now there's literally 56 choices to be able to choose from. Because the purpose, and you look at it and you go, that's ridiculous. And I don't care what clothes you wear, you're not going to change your DNA. Right? But, and it's just almost comical if it weren't so serious. Because when you recognize that this is not some kind of just weird kind of moral, whatever it might be, where everything is pushed back, there is a scheme of the enemy to destroy every structure that God has set up in our lives, around us, whatever God can bless, He has to go after. Aren't you happy that we win? Many years ago, when I taught on this area of spiritual warfare, people used to get afraid. I don't want to talk about the devil. I don't want to be scared. Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants. He doesn't want this subject. And I love to preach on everything. But I'll tell you, what I am going to preach on is where God's focus is. We can preach on all kinds of wonderful things. But wonderful things outside of God's focus is just a good, nice message. It's nice. The Lord's saying it's important that we realize, that the Christian realize, that my bride realizes, because we're the bride of Christ, that the bride be ready. Because in the end times, what's going to happen, the enemy is going to come in and try to take away as many as possible that I've purposed to be a part of my bride, that are not going to be, they were going to be distracted from coming into that relationship with me. The enemy knows that his time is near. He knows that. He knows exactly. And that's why Scripture says on the end time, he's literally going to do everything he possibly can. We've been looking at defeating the powers of the enemy in the end times through your ministry. And as I said, that's called spiritual warfare. Warfare. We are in, according to Scripture, we are in a war. There is a war for against you to, first of all, in mankind, to keep mankind out of God's will. Once we accept his will, then the war is to get us out, keep us from moving in the power and the authority of the Lord, and try to get us backslidden. Anybody ever heard that word, backslidden? That's an old term. That means you're sliding backwards. And when you're backsliding, you're not forward moving, right? So the enemy wants to do everything we possibly can. That is, since the beginning of time, it's never going to change. And if we and those listening online have the attitude of, all I'm going to do my whole life is just a warfare. My whole life, what is that? You know, are we having fun yet? And they begin to take the word and the understanding of saying, well, if Christianity is nothing but a war, I don't want to be involved with it. I don't like wars. Well, let me just say something nice to those who might consider that approach. You're in a war whether you like it or not. Whether you want to do a war, you can't say to the enemy, no, I don't like war. I don't like war, so I don't want to be involved in your party. The enemy says, you're in a war because I hate you. I hate you. And I want everything I possibly can do to neutralize, because when I look at you, I see God's creation. And I hate God's creation. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get as many as I possibly can that he created to take him on my side and mock him with it. And mock him. Look at these people you created. Look at them. They're following after me. He stands in Zechariah chapter 1. He stands in front of the Lord mocking God's people, God's high priest. He says, look at this person. How dare you? Look at him. Jesus is standing right by. And Zechariah is standing by the high priest. And he's standing in front of the high priest. And the high priest, he's got his priestly garments on. Joshua, he's standing there, and the Bible says that he's here. Here's the high priest. Zechariah is watching. He's a prophet from the back, and there's God Almighty in front, and Jesus is right here, and the devil's right here. And he says that the high priest is standing before God with, you ready? Excrement bespattered garments, which represented the sins of Israel, standing in front of God's presence, covered with soil, with human feces, in front of a holy God. And he's standing there, and Satan is over on the corner here, and he's saying to God, he's saying to the high priest, how dare you stand in front of Almighty God like that? Here's your high priest, God. Here's your high priest. Look what's happened to him. He's standing in your presence, filthy, covered with sin. And mocking. And Joshua is going down, and he's feeling more and more a pullback. And Satan continues to chew on him and just berate him. And Jesus is right here on the other side. And he says, Father, this one is ours. Sort of a picture of what might be happening with the rest of creation. This one is ours. He said, and Jesus says, I stand for him right now. God says, put clean garments on him. Put clean garments on. And Satan is just, and then Jesus tells, get out of here. and the priest standing before God with clean garments. Now, essentially, like we had priestly garments, and our sins were on us too. And the enemy comes in and says, look what you've done. Look at all the things. How dare you? Didn't you tell God you weren't going to do that again? And all the other failures, oh man, oh woman of God that you are, you can't even take care of yourself. How would you expect to be able to do something in someone else's life? There's sin in your life. How dare you try to tell someone to do something when you're not doing it yourself? That's a common ploy of the enemy. And most people fold. But Jesus says, when we come back and we say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry, for whatever that might, he says, you're forgiven. Put some new garments on him, on her. And now we don't have to change garments anymore, because Jesus stands between us and the Father, and he's our filter. So all the things, the mistakes that we've made, all the challenges that we've had to deal with, all the areas where we've messed up, God looks at us through Jesus, and he sees purity and wholeness. He sees destiny. He sees ministry. He sees opportunity. And the devil wants everything he possibly can, even with that revelation, to stand by in the back of this and say, you are neutralized. You are neutralized. You said you weren't going to do it again. You did it. You failed. Whatever. You'll never be any good to God. And many Christians walk around in that condemnation. That's why in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who love God and called according to his purpose. And what we have to do is to recognize that that's not only for your revelation, but it's revelation through you. And that's what we've been talking about, spiritual warfare. Isaiah 59 has said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And we began our series, How to Deal with Spiritual Warfare, both personally, which we have concluded, and the next one is in others' lives. How to deal with spiritual warfare. First, as you remember last time, in our life, we also said that our tools were the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. Those are the major tools that we have in defeating the powers of the enemy. And we looked at how to stop robbery in your life, also known as spiritual warfare. How to deal with things. And you remember last week, and I don't have time to go over them, we gave an outline 2 Sundays ago. Take a look at that. Listen to it again. These are the things that happen to bring how to defeat the powers of the enemy within our lives. These are ongoing situations. The enemy will never leave us alone. He'll back up. But the wonderful thing about it is that we win. And you can't imagine how powerful you really are unless you start using what God has given to you and start gaining the victory. So we went through each one of these things and how to deal with the powers of the enemy. The next area that I want us to look at is how to stop robbery in others. How to move in spiritual warfare. It's also known as ministry. We've looked how to deal with it in ourselves. Now, how do we deal with it in other people? It's extremely recognized. Let me read this verse here. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up on the Sabbath day, and into the synagogue, as was his custom. He went to church. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. Unscrolling it, he found the place where it is written. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed,
to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What was so unique about that was that when teachers and rabbis, which they acknowledged Jesus was, would come in to the synagogue, visiting ones, they would hand them the Torah, or the scroll, and the rabbi would open up and read something, and then minister from that, give an explanation for it. And then after he was finished, he would sit down. What Jesus did is he read the thing, he sat down. There's nothing more to say. He said, then when they're looking at him, say, what was this all about? This is about the Messiah. This is about the one that has come to establish what they were looking for. And Jesus sits down. And he says, today, this part of Scripture from Isaiah has been fulfilled in your eyes. And there was only one thing that they could have concluded, that he was saying that he was the Messiah. And that really ticked them off. But he was the Messiah, wasn't he? Amen?
Amen.
So what the Messiah says that he's going to do, or that has been accomplished, the Messiah can do it, right? When he said this, he was saying, making the proclamation that because of this, it is now fulfilled. The sight, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, and those that are bound in prison will be set free. And I'm also here to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That means God's favor to people, not judgment. And I want you to understand, this is our ministry. Did it not say in Scripture that we would do what Jesus did? This is our ministry. Ministry, ministering to others. Then he goes back later on with his disciples. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Very important ministry, and the reason why, very important scripture, because what I want to do, as I always try to do, I always do, is to document the reason why we are supposed to know this stuff, to bring it to an understanding, why it's important, and then verify it and validate it in Scripture. Jesus says this, and he's saying that by the Holy Spirit when he lifted to heaven. He was saying, you will do this also. This is your ministry, for you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses, to do this, to witness to me. Jesus said this, I can do this, I go out and do it, and what we're doing is we're testifying about Jesus. Who was it that you prayed to that my headache went away, or my cancer went away, or all of a sudden the whatever depression might went away, or I received the job or the finances? It was because I prayed to Jesus. It was because I know that Jesus Christ is able to do anything, and that when we come and we ask of him and we live our lives for him, there is nothing that he will turn away. It was Jesus, and I did it in Jesus' name. And that's why it's so important that we recognize this is our ministry. Let me give you some understanding. We're not to be ignorant, as I said, of the enemy's devices. Most Christians are ignorant of the enemy's devices. They have no idea. And I base the premise of all areas of ministry and contention within mankind that there is demonic spirit activity behind everything. Well, I have a headache. Is that because the enemy caused me to do that? I don't know, but you got a headache, and your headache was not in God's plan. And it may be, you may be hitting yourself in the head, understand, like trying to figure out where the blood's coming from. But every malady in mankind today, there is demonic activity behind it. And people would say, because they don't understand, man, aren't you super spiritualizing everything? No, I'm not super spiritualizing everything. I'm saying the truth. The enemy has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. Well, you're blaming everything on the enemy. Yeah. Well, doesn't that sound too weird? No. Because if they really want to get technical, if I want to stop them dead in their tracks, because there's a lot of people that don't want to talk about the enemy, and he loves it. I want to talk about God. Good. We'll talk about God too. Devil made me do it. That's what people are getting away with all kinds of garbage, and they're saying the devil made me do it. We're carrying this thing too far. No, I'm saying we're not carrying it far enough, or else we'd be KBBT. We would be doing what God wanted us to do. And I don't know how many demons you cast out last week. I don't know how many times that you destroyed the works of the devil that was trying to come against you or those that are under your care. And I'm assuming that there were many times. But ultimately, the purpose of Jesus coming was to destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that what he says? There's reasons for spiritual attacks. I want to give you some of the symptoms of this. And this part of Scripture, part of the message, is the negative side. Many people, again, they don't know what spiritual warfare, the attack of the enemy looks like. And they think it was just circumstances. And I don't look for devils in anything, in everything. I just kick them out. We're not chasing devils. They're chasing us. And when they bite a hold of us, their teeth are going to crack. But we're not ignorant of his devices. And when you look at it from a positive side, then you recognize that not only do we win, that we don't have to, that means we don't have to be defeated. You don't have to live in robbery. Now, we learn that for ourselves. And if you haven't, go back and listen to it again. Got many, many hits on this because God's stirring the hearts of his people. This is the negative side. But I want you to be aware so that when you come up against it, you can understand. I'm going to show you how the enemy worked. The reason for the spiritual attacks are these. Why is someone dealing with a situation? Why are they going through this? Let me just show you something. First of all, the occult involvement. When you play around with the devil, you're going to get slimed. And Ouija boards and fortune telling and palm reading. Nice. What's the matter with a little palm reading thing? You're saying, devil, come in. No, I'm not. I'm just letting this lady read her crystal ball. The Bible says that is a doorway to the enemy. And you don't know how many people I've had to deal with. And some of them I had to pray exorcism to release the demonic oppression that they were in because, in coming back with a word of knowledge, that was because they messed around with Ouija boards. Well, it's nothing but a little kid's game. No, it's not. And we've had people testify that when that happened, we start getting all a party game and start moving things around and whatever, all of a sudden, their life began to change. And a spirit of oppression came on them. So when you deal with the occult, fortune cookies can carry things away. I like fortune cookies and I like read them. It says something like, you will be prosperous and all that kind of It's not going to tell you to do anything difficult. I can throw a fortune cookie away or the little thing inside, but when you get into horoscopes and when you get into these areas where your astrology, when you don't step outside of the house because you read your horoscope, I can't leave the house today. Isn't that, what kind of stupid is that? But I'll tell you, there are people that live that way. And there's a spirit behind it. So there might be somebody, let me just go on. Unforgiving spirit, holding on to past grievances. When you see these kinds of things in people's lives, you recognize that you're dealing with a spirit. They're dealing with a spirit. And you don't come in trying to rationalize the situation who someone is going through a place like that. If they're dealing with unforgiveness, you need to recognize that there's a spirit behind that. Disobedience to the Lord. Disobedience to the Lord is something that can literally, let me back that up. How many know when you're disobedience to the Lord, you're in obedience to the enemy? When there are people that you see that are outright doing things that you know is not from God, what they're doing is they're opening themselves up to a spiritual attack. And if you are called to minister to that person, then you have to recognize that because you know, no matter how much you pat them on the back or tell them how much you love them, if they're doing something that's allowing the enemy to come in their life, it's never going to go away. Jesus did not just say, I love you. He said, be healed or be delivered, be set free. And that's our ministry too. Also, dependence on the outside sources. When you're dependent upon anything other than the Lord, you are opening yourself up to the powers of the enemy. And I'm not talking about doctors or these kinds of things. I'm talking about some stuff that you know is outside of God's will, like being addicted. There's a hook on everything that the enemy will offer you. How many times I've had people say, you know, Pastor, how many times have I had people hooked and eventually end on heroin because they started taking drugs, lesser drugs? And I'm sorry, not going to make me popular, but marijuana. I wish I had a nickel for everyone told that I had to deal with that become addicts because they were in fact hooked on marijuana or started with marijuana. And then they try to break the habit by smoking marijuana. People are not going to like this. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. Now, you can go out there and continue to stick your head underwater or whatever it might be, can't understand why you can't breathe. But if you want to breathe, if you want to be set free, I'm telling you the truth. And right now, that's not politically correct because we should be able, now we've got cannabis stores everywhere. Well, why do you think that that's so easily done? It's because the enemy is perpetrating it. And what happens when you start messing with people chemically? You change them. And when you change them, they become, I got to think of a good animal here. I can't think of one. They just become stupid. And the next thing that happens, you can lead a stupid person anywhere you want them to go. Yeah. As I said, it's not politically correct. But I'm wanting to tell you that if you understand the principle, everything is in the process of being redefined. Pastor, what's so wrong about smoking marijuana? Because it makes you stupid. And it causes you to reduce your guard, and you lose your spiritual sensitivity. And when you lose your spiritual sensitivity, what happens, you are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And God, the enemy is not going to stop at marijuana, by the way. I was involved with counseling when coke became the drug of choice. Cocaine. I mean, that's not addictive. I don't lie. But what happened, people would come into my office. Yeah, I do coke, you know, and it's no big deal. I mean, you know, this is the drug that they said was so you didn't get hooked on meth, or you didn't get hooked on LSD. Now they've offered us coke. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. I mean, after all, I can stop any way I want. I've had people lose their family, their businesses, lose their life because coke is no big deal. You have to recognize how the enemy works. And marijuana is no big deal. To the enemy and to the world. But it is. Because there is a spiritual side behind this. What you do is you are lowering your effectiveness of sensitivity. What you're doing is you're making yourself vulnerable to the powers of the enemy, and they will come in. And when you see that in people, you can recognize it. And of course, like I said, the whole moral change is going on. People will say, it's no big deal. Even now they're passing laws. They're passing laws that you can go ahead and smoke marijuana. Look at Colorado. Look at the other places. Who's passing laws? But the people, that stupid people, I say that nicely, voted for. People that don't let's use the word stupid, that they are ignorant. How's that? Is that an easier way to say it? They don't know the difference of what's going on. And they don't want anything to block what they want to do. I can't help but be prophetic in these types of, and what I'm saying here, because the enemy absolutely needs to be exposed. Okay? You want me to preach on something else? In the process of allowing the enemy to come in, incorrect relationship, family disorders, wrong contracts, sexual involvement. Surprising, when I first started out 30-something years ago, I had an occasional dealing with couples that were not married, that had sexual involvement. Now, it's unusual if I get a couple that has not been involved sexually. And they can't understand why their relationship cannot be established in the correct way. And they don't understand why that they're having hard times breaking through relationship into becoming one. Well, you're not going to become one outside of marriage. It's a physical, spiritual impossibility. And it's a trap of the enemy to take one of the most precious things that God gave man and woman, husband and wife, and to pervert it into something that is absolutely mocking God and hurting the couple. And I don't have time to get into it, but a man gives who he is in a relationship. A woman gives her body That's what she brings in. I'm not talking about the other gifts, but that is the major thing that the woman gives to her husband. And when she gives away herself to someone else that is not her husband, what's happening is she is literally lowering the uniqueness and the beauty of what God created her to be. But I thank God there's no such thing as returning to physical virginity. But with God, and this is what we do with couples, you can return to spiritual virginity. And we ask God to restore. But can you understand today? Do you understand? This is, I mean, it's, oh, pastor, I mean, after all, you're old school. No, I'm not. But I am of the school putting things together because it's not going to work. And when there was this whole thing about living together to see if it works, what a crock. It cannot be blessed by God. God can only bless what he can bless. And when we're doing something and we're asking God to bless it, let me tell you something. He says, I can't. You've closed me out. So when I have couples and we go into premarital counseling or whatever it might be, I tell them, you are going to start doing things right if you want this marriage to work. If you want God into the situation, we got to line up where we got to hand him something that he can work with. But today, it's SOP, standard operating procedure. Because the sexual commitment, which is a covenant relationship between a husband and a wife, is sought by the enemy to be destroyed. He tried to destroy. The other side of it is, that's why marriage, a covenant relationship by God, it's nothing anymore. All I need to do is say, I don't like you anymore. We don't get along together. Okay, next. Can you see, am I making my point where everything that God has tried to is established for the betterment of mankind to be able to have the line in the middle of the road? The line in the middle is being erased. And we can't understand why we're having head-on collisions. Anybody say amen or oh me or whatever here. Now, quickly, what does the enemy attack look like? 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that Satan will not outsmart us, we are to be aware of his evil schemes. I'm going to do this very quickly. And what does it look like? What are the symptoms? So that when you're ministering to someone else, you'll understand this. Let me give you the major ones right now. Areas of spiritual attacks. Sign of the enemy involvement. Number one, low self-image. Unworthy, a failure, no good. A constant undermining of a self-identity. That is not an emotional problem. It is a spiritual problem. And because it's not being dealt with correctly, it's become an emotional problem. Low self-image, and I spent probably months telling you who you are in God's eyes, who God created you to be, and he don't make no junk. But when you have a whole manipulative pressures, put downs and undermining and redefinition, that person becomes feeling inadequate. That person doesn't understand who they are. And you try to tell them how special they are, they'll deny it. No, I'm not. Who, me? What? No. And it's one of the hardest things that I have to deal with, to reconvince people who have taken upon themselves that low self-image and have been manipulated. You know what we did? What happened? The psychologist got involved with it. And you know what happened? They started telling the parents, tell your kid he is absolutely fantastic in everything that he does. And the next thing we knew, the kids were running the families. Oh, no, June, he's okay, that's all right. No, there was no structure. So what they did, when man gets involved with the psychological side, the whole teaching came out that the parents were to tell their kids, don't ever tell them they're any wrong, bad or anything. Don't ever correct them. Just tell them how wonderful they are. And they grow up, and we can't understand why they're rebellious. We can't understand why they won't follow the structures of society. Because everybody gets participation trophies. I got to do this quicker. Confusion in thinking. Confusion is there's a spiritual behind. I'm not saying, well, I'm not sure about this. I'm talking about confusion, and there's people who live in confusion, and they don't know how to make decisions. Denial of God, something sometimes it gets to the place where I'm not remembering things, and it's just saying, just because I'm older. The enemy loves to bring confusion. He started in the Garden of Eden, when he brought a question that confused Eve. God has not given us the spirit of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. So when you see someone who is, and I'm not talking about over a particular, who lives in a place of just can't get their mind straight, we're talking about a spiritual attack. Next, inability to believe, even when the person wants to. How many people have had to deal over the years where they were in a church and something happened bad or whatever it might have been, and now they can't go back into a church again. They don't want to go back into church because they got hurt. Somebody said something. Pastor said something. Whatever it might be. And they're out of church for 15, 20 years, and they can't go back again. It's a lie and a deception from the enemy. Some of these things are more obvious, but you have to understand the way the enemy works. Also, incorrect evaluation. Perceiving anger, hostility in others when it doesn't really exist. Seeing only judgment in the scripture. That person is always angry or whatever. A person walks around like that, feeling a victim. Victimization is a tool of the enemy. Well, everybody's against me. And I'm the one that always gets put down and all that kind of things. No matter what happens to those people, no matter what happens, they will turn it around in their mind's eye and they become the victim if they don't get their way. Always somebody else's fault. Always because I was denied or whatever it might be. And what happens, those people become, they have to become center of attention. Everything revolves around them. And even if someone said, you know, I was blessed or whatever it might be, well, got to turn it around. And it's so obvious. You know those kind of people where everything has to revolve around them. They always point back. It has to be them. They have to be the center of a focus, whether it be because they're doing something fantastic or got blessed or because they're the victim. Awfully quiet. Nightmares causing fear, often with demonic images. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sakes. And I'm not talking about Frosty the Snowman or Santa Claus. Pastor, I can't sleep. What are you doing? Well, you know, I went to bed angry with my mate. Welcome to Nightmare City. Well, you know, I was just so stressed out today that it was, and it happens, it happened. I'm talking about where you wake up in the cold sweats kind of deal, or week after week, night after night, you're just afraid to go to sleep. The enemy loves to get into your head. And the only way he can get into your head is if you let him. And when you go to sleep, he doesn't get out of your head. So don't let him in your head. So easy, huh? Next. Fear, panic attacks, and phobias. These are demonic attacks. I had someone that could not go into a store without having a panic attack, especially Safeway. So I said, try Whole Foods. No, I didn't. Literally would go into the place and have a just panic attack and had to run out of the store. One time, it was a lady, one time, even left her purse there. Just all of a sudden, just came upon her, and it happened over and over again. Then I started counseling her, and I said, the next time that this happens, I want you to call me. She says, I don't want to go Safeway anymore. I said, this is not a mental problem. It's not an anxiety problem. It's a spiritual problem. And she had been, because of circumstances that were out of control, developed a very insecure approach to life. Divorced family areas, and literally to the point where she was very insecure. Very, very unable to be able to stand and face something. She called me up in Safeway. And she says, Pastor, she's out of breath. I said, I want you to stop right now. And I want you to listen to me. And I said to her, I want you to agree with me right now. I want you to close your eyes. If anybody passes you, go into the kumquat section. I want you to listen to me. And I said, agree with my prayer. And I came and I bound that spirit of fear. I came against the lies and the deceptions and the manipulations and the robbery that went on in her life that's gone on for years and years and years. And I took a spiritual authority over that situation. And by the time we got finished, she, oh my. And I wasn't there, but I would assume that she was not hyperventilating. But what she was doing, she was experiencing freedom. And throughout the months, more and more, to the point where she would go into Safeway looking for the enemy. I got to go shopping, but I'm in there. I dare you. She took it. She knew how to deal. In the name of Jesus, I will not buy that lie. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you to get out of here. I'm not listening to you. You're not getting back into my head. Next, anger. Anger. Most people I found who are angry are people who are hurt. So when you're dealing with someone that's holding on that kind of anger and it's just it's eating them alive. How many know that anger can eat people alive? You got to look for the Spirit. If I had more time, I'd tell you some stories, but I don't have time. I'll tell you some another time. About coming back and finding out the situation. Lord, why is this person so filled with anger? Why is it that they can't deal with reality in a situation, and everything causes them to be explosive? And they can't blame it on being Italian either. Why is it? And find out what happened. And the Lord give a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom to say, you remember this? Who's the person that caused you to be angry? When you go back asking, who's the person that started this? When were you not angry? Well, I remember when I was growing up, then all of a sudden, I've had, sad to say, a number of ladies, when they were young girls that were molested, and they carry around this two things, they either go low self-image, poor self-image, or angry and resentful. And often when they've given themselves outside of marriage, early in life, they become angry at themselves. And you have to break that spirit. And Jesus can do it. Also, constant guilt, self-condemnation, depression and despondency. People who are walking around in depression, it's demonic. You can't take pills to get rid of demonic activity. I'm not against the sedatives, those that are high strung. I'm not against that. But a person that is living in depression is being bound by a spirit. That's why today, I can't remember the statistics, but it's amazing how many people in the United States, 70% and upwards, have bouts of depression. And some of those live in depression. And a pill does nothing more than just numbs you out. It doesn't make the depression go away. It's a spiritual battle that we find out. Wait a minute, you're not thinking correctly. Most people are in depression because they've lost hope. And when you've lost hope, there's nothing but despair. And when there's nothing but despair, you go into depression. But when we come along and we see that person and we begin to talk to them about what God has for them, it's very hard for a person who was walking with the Lord. It's very, very, and I've had it happen, but only because of distraction. A person who was walking with the Lord, who understands the principles of God, to be depressed. Because it's not over till God says it's over. So we have hope. And the person who is depressed comes to the point with drawing conclusions. And I've told you, never allow yourself to draw conclusions in the middle of something. Because you'll cut God right out of it and let the enemy right into it. Next, drug and alcohol addiction. There's a spirit behind that. Setting the prisoner free. Calling out captivity. Alcoholism, drugs. The spirit of pharmakia. Pharmakia is the name of the spirit. Drugs, pharmacy. Those people, those situations, when they're addicted to drugs, you can't deal with it. You can go to AA. I think AA is fantastic. You can go to other locations, situations where there's a complete abstaining. That's fantastic. But if you don't break the spirit behind it, you're going to be seduced again. And that's why people who are addicted, it's roller coasters. And they make it for a while, and the next thing they do is fall back. If you don't break the spirit, then you've got the same the same scenario that's played out. And eventually, sad to say, and I know many, 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 many who have made it. I've known, that's why the 12-step program, the higher power, that higher power and the ones that I have dealt with is Jesus Christ and God Almighty. And the reason why you have to go with the higher power, because originally AA was a Christian organization. But in order to get funding, they had to go into some kind of nebulous thing where they had to welcome other gods or any god. The higher power is this, my cat. Eating obsessions, bulimia, anorexia, nervosa. Those are demonically inspired things from low self-image to whatever that emotional trap is. And you deal with it not by psychologically only, because you first of all, you break the spirit so that you can get into the person's head and cause them to think right. Because when they're dealing with a spirit, they cannot think right. Compulsive sexual thoughts, fornication. I'm going to do this quickly. Well, this is obvious. I remember, well, Pastor, yes, I remember when I was in college. And I remember that we used to go down and we would go to the bookstore and one of the things, and we'd buy Playboy magazines. And it was like, well, that's just what guys do. Well, they were wearing bathing suits back then. Yeah. But now, you know now, one of the greatest addictions, even stronger than drugs, is pornography. It's one of the strongest addictions that is known to mankind. Pornography. Not just men, it's women also. It's one of the hardest things to break. And right now, you don't even have to go down to the local store. I just happened to find out something. You want to hear something? Okay, I'll tell you. I was reading on whether the Drudge Report or something like that, and it says that Playboy is no longer going to have centerfolds or nudes in their magazines. Yippee, yippee! Because they can't compete with what's on. Well, that's what we used to say anyway. We don't buy it. Back then we said we didn't buy for any pictures. We did it for the articles. Yeah, right. But they're finding out they can't compete with the garbage, the billion-dollar industry that's out there that just grabs. I tell men what happened. You turn that thing on, and what's going to happen is when you turn it off, the demon stays there. The demon stays in your place, and he gets into your head. And all of a sudden, you can't knock those thoughts out. I hit a website a while ago, and I tell the guys, and the next thing I know, it was a Promise Keepers website. But I didn't know that someone had taken the name for Promise Keepers. The short city is PK. So that's what we call. We went to PK, and yeah, someone had taken. I shouldn't have said that because I don't want anybody looking this up. Someone had gotten and taken the PK.com and turned it into a pornographic site. What a coinkydink. What a coincidence. And I hit PK.com and it took me 5 things to get out of the cotton picking thing. And I had I'm about ready to pull the plug, put my hand through the monitor. But those flashes must have taken 2 weeks to keep to finally get free from them. It's a strong spirit. It's a spirit of seduction. The spirit does not leave when you turn off physical attacks, from headaches to cancer. Physical attacks, from understandings. Well, all of a sudden, I believe cancer is from the devil. I believe anything, as I said, the malady of mankind that harms the malady of mankind is from the enemy. And I believe that it's mankind's, the enemy's purpose and plan to neutralize our effectiveness. But when you see these things that most people have no idea that we're talking about spiritual attacks, and they go about trying to minister or try to be kind or whatever it might be, and they can't understand why the person is not set free. That's why I'm saying that we must be aware that we're dealing from a spiritual perspective. I've got good news, by the way. We have been given power over the enemy. We no longer have to live, or they don't have to live, in the lie of robbery. We have been called to set the captive free. Jesus had defeated the powers of the enemy, and he says, wherever you go, the kingdom of God is there. And every place Jesus went, he kicked the hell out of things. And he says, where the kingdom of God is at hand. Wherever you go, you bring in the kingdom of God. You have been called to the kingdom to make that revelation known. Jesus has given us victory and authority to set the captives free. This information is now to make you aware, because we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices anymore. When you see these things, recognize, instead of being, well, poor thing, and all that. This is the good news. You have been called to set the captive free. And when your child comes home or afraid, or your nephew or a grandson comes home and is afraid of things or whatever, you bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. You don't have to do some demonstrative. You come and you just pray right now. I bind that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I bind that low self-image. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Bind that spirit of rejection. And when bullies or whatever it might be, there's a spirit behind that too. And I'm not going woo-woo, folks. There's three spirits. The one is mankind. The other one is the enemy. And the other one is God. You're going to serve somebody. And when the enemy is robbing, you know what to do with it. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to deal with how to move in that. But I first wanted to give you the symptoms so that you can be aware of what's going on. And when you see it, recognize and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? What's the spirit behind this? Amen, O me.
Amen.
You got it?
Got it.
All right. Let's close. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Devil didn't like this message. And we're going to put it on the website. And we want 1,000+ hits. We're not ignorant of his devices. And we have authority over the powers of the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, that by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus, and by the word of God, that we declare victory. And the powers of the enemy have no place. Thank you, Lord, that we walk in victory and we set the captive free. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit we can walk with the anointing that God gave to us. And there's people, Lord, that we know in our lives that come across, that we see daily, that need, Father, that need your help. Thank you for that authority. Thank you, Lord. I release that anointing, Father, in the name of Jesus, upon these people and those that are listening. In the name of Jesus, I release that anointing. And we declare, Father, freedom. And that we are freedom makers. We thank you, Father, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And we went a little bit longer here, but I wanted to get this behind us. I want you to stand with us as we close this song. Let's give the Lord a praise offering like that and just say, in your face, devil, amen. Here's the song I want you to listen to. A couple weeks ago we put it on, and it's the declaration of what we are, how are we doing? We got it? Let's go for it. I like this one. We're going to play that again another time, but what I want you to do, take your neighbor's hand right now. Father, I bless my brother and my sister on my right and left. I thank you that God reigns here. He reigns. I'm touching someone where God is reigning in. And Lord, I agree with them. To agree touching anything, it shall be done by our Father which is in heaven. And Lord, the authority that was presented today in this message and the exposing of the enemy that has been revealed in this thing, I agree with them to walk in that victory where they also will set the captive free. And we claim that together. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hand before the Lord. Father, I also claim that each one, I release authority, I release anointing, and I release that empowering to be able to not only walk in freedom for themselves, but to be deliverers, to be the anointed ones, to go in Jesus' name, because God reigns. Our God reigns. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. We claim that together. We believe you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's victorious people said our freers said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Turn around and give somebody a God bless you. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.